All right, everyone. We're going to go ahead and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up will be item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Start to my far left there, Commissioner Gilman.
No comment today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Very good. Vice Chairman McGuffey.
Yes. Okay. The V&T, I see that the ridership is up a little bit, and we'd have to thank the efforts of Denny and the VCTC, along with Joel Dunn in Carson City, the convention authority there, for just what little input they're already doing for the train. Of course, they'll be full on board come October 1st. So just we're already seeing an impact in the ridership because of their involvement. So I see better days ahead. And I'd like to thank Joe Curtis for his assistance in helping Mr. Dorr with the FEMA stuff. Now, this is the first time for him. Mr. Dorr is the engineer for the V&T Railway. And there was a lot of damage to the track bed from the winter storm. So Joe has been instrumental in helping guide him through the process of working with FEMA, which is a real gauntlet. Last Saturday was the Virginia City Highlands Homeowners Association's annual meeting. They had a great turnout, and there was a lot of questions from the attendees following updates by the sheriff, Austin, and myself. Unfortunately, the fire department was not able to get anybody there because there was a nasty train wreck there out in the, I guess near Patrick or Lockwood, somewhere in that area. So they weren't able to show up. So I want to thank you both for attending. Last week we had another monthly meeting with the homeowners board chairman. And we discussed again items as maybe a U.S. Forest Service type toilet out at the Highlands Park, parking. Parking is kind of our priority right now around the mailboxes. And then we also talked a little bit about private road status, but that's in Keith's hands. And again, we touch base on the community center, things we need. You know, there's a lot of logistics involved, so we're working on that as well. Now, several years ago, the industrial park, in its infant days, approached the county in supporting their efforts. And one of their pitches was that at some point, as the park grew and we drew in major companies coming in and paying lots of taxes, that has actually happened, and it's still growing. It's still growing at a phenomenal pace, and my hat's off to Mr. Gilman for that. So part of that, part of what was sold to us was that someday that we would probably be able to lower our tax rates, our property tax rates, to all the residents of Story County. During my campaign for this seat, I promised to bring this long-forgotten issue to the table, and shortly after I was elected, Commissioner Gilman put it on the agenda, and it was on the agenda a few times, but it kind of fell on deaf ears over time. Though we're not collecting taxes from Tesla, we are getting some from Switch. Their abatements weren't as heavy as Tesla's. And then we've got several more companies moving in constantly all the time. We've got all these contractors. You know, if you look at the reports month after month, there's 25 or more per committee meeting, I think, as far as contractors signing up, and they're paying for their business licenses. So, and then we got these companies still moving in. We got a couple hotels moving in. There's a truck stop in the works. And, you know, not everybody, in fact, mostly none of the other businesses out there got the kind of abatements that Tesla got. and some, not even what switch got. So, though we've put money, we have to put money aside for new voting, mandated voting machines, body cameras, and within about a year and a half, we have to replace our aging ASA 400 county computer system to speak up. That's going to be dead within 2 years anyway. So, but we're currently looking at having a $7.4 million projected ending fund balance in the general fund for the next fiscal year. So I think it's time we move on my campaign promise, and that is, with the support of my fellow commissioners, I now insist and demand we address this immediately, and should be no excuses for this not to happen now. Whether it is 10 or 30 cents per $100 assessed value of your property, this needs to happen. We are in a position to make it happen now. So government, you know, it seems like government knows how to take your money, but they have a hard time figuring out how to give it back. This is a great opportunity. Yeah, I'll wait for a second. So I see this as a great opportunity for Story County to again take the lead in Nevada's future. And who knows, maybe nationwide. So I don't want to wait till next fiscal year. I want it to happen now. And I think it can happen very shortly. So with, again, no excuses, Mr. Whitten and Mr. Gallagher, I want you to take care of this now. Let's get it done. I'd like to hear what the impact is going to be at our next meeting.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just a quick aside here. Ms. McGuffey, I thank you so much for bringing this to the attention of the floor. And I will just tell you that on behalf of the residents of the Story County, we've been talking about this for a long time, and you have my 100% report or support on this. 100%.
Okay.
Thank you for doing that.
I'll recommend to Commissioner McGuffey that you have this agendized.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why I asked for Mr. Gallagher.
Well, I know,
Mr.
Whitman, I think you need to do that through
the next meeting.
I know, but I think you need to do that agendized item,
right?
Because it wasn't agendized for this meeting. But point taken. Anything else? Anything else on your list?
That's it.
Nope. Okay. All right. Let's see. What do I have? I think since our last meeting, some of the Comstock Billy Goats, some of our regular volunteers in Virginia City did their biannual hike up to the V, repaired a bunch of broken wires on it, went ahead and removed a lot of brush and weeds, and replaced all of the light bulbs around the V with new LED lights, so that they, as opposed to the old Christmas tree lights that were incandescent in glass. So these are plastic LED. They might hold up better with the weather up there and the livestock that tramples on them. And that funding to replace all those came from one of our local charities, the 601s, as they call themselves, which was a vigilante group back in the early days. But they funded it. A bunch of about six or seven volunteers hiked up there, did all the repair work. So if you look out there tonight after it gets dark enough, it looks pretty good again. Next up is the 4th of July, coming up in 2 weeks from today. Encourage everybody who is in the area to go ahead and come to Virginia City. There's usually a terrific parade that goes over an hour long. a lot of excitement, entertainment around town, and of course the grand finale fireworks down by the Silverland. Also, David John and the Comstock Cowboys will be performing in the Bucket of Blood parking lot, and so the Union Street to Sutton Street will be closed for about a four-hour period that evening to accommodate all the extra chairs that need to be set up. So they actually set them up in the street as well, making kind of a street party atmosphere. So everyone is encouraged to participate, and if you have an old vehicle or some type of float, it's always encouraged that you participate in the parade too, because it's a real fun event. And a lot of people show up, thousands of people show up for this event, and you'll see more children in Virginia City on the 4th of July than any other time of year. So everyone's welcome. Moving along now to item number 9, discussion and possible action, approval of resolution 17-456, honoring Gary Haynes. Who's going to take the lead on this?
I can.
Okay.
The record, Pat Whitten. These are probably going to be two of the hardest presentations I think I've ever made. I've worked with both Gary and Dean since I went to work for the county as the sheriff back in January of 1999. The good news is we've been criticized for and I'm proud of. We're recycling Gary. The bad news is family called for Dean, but I'll wait and talk about Dean here in a bit. So we have a resolution today, and the resolution is 17-456. It's a resolution honoring Gary Haynes. Whereas Gary Haynes has faithfully served Story County for over 29 years, from 1988 to 2017. And whereas Gary Haynes is dedicated to his job and to the citizens of Story County. And whereas Gary Haynes has served with distinction, earning the respect of all he works with, both locally and statewide. And whereas Gary Haynes' professional skills in several capacities have served to make Story County a better place to live, work, and play. Therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Gary Haynes for exemplary service to the people of Story County, Nevada, this 20th day of June, 2017. Subject to your vote, passed and adopted unanimously on the 20th day of 2017. So, Chief.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Right ahead, Gary.
Thank you. And it's allergies, not emotionals, day for me. 30 years is a long time. I actually started in the fire department when I was 16 years old as a student member. Marshall was not nice to me. He was rather mean, but he was one of my great mentors. I learned a lot of life lessons from him on how to get shoved into fire truck cabinets and other things. I'm not going to keep this very long. I'm just going to keep it very short. Again, 30 years of service. I started when I was 19, so most of my adult life I've been here, and I've been blessed and honored to serve this community and this board and several other boards, and been blessed to work with the people in this audience. You're my friends, you're my counterparts, and I sincerely appreciate all the years of service that you've given as well. And finally, I think the most important thing is to thank my family. I missed a lot of holidays. Missed a lot of anniversaries, and she's been patient with me, so thank you.
You know, Gary.
I may, for just a minute. Thank you.
They say in life, when one door closes, another opens. And in your case, that's absolutely true. And so for all that, I'm representing at this moment the Committee for Economic Development and Diversification for Story County. And we're sad we're going to see Dean retire, and we're going to miss him greatly. I've been with Dean for going on 20 years of my own here. But we've had the opportunity, Dean and I, with Gary, to sit in more than one meeting with major relocating companies to Story County. And I'll just tell you, and I know Dean will join me in this, Gary represented us professionally and couldn't ask for more out there in what we're doing in developing the economy and the future of our Story County. And so where I say goodbye on the fireside, welcome. And I thank you so much for what you're doing for us on the economic development side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Right, this is an action item, and so I'm going to go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this resolution. Hearing none, I'll go ahead and ask for a motion.
Okay. In honor of 30 years of dedicated service to Story County in multiple capacities, I make a motion to approve Resolution 17-456, honoring Gary Hames.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
You have a second. Thank you.
We'll move to second. Go ahead and approve Resolution 17-456. Honoring Gary Hames. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Not to be outdone, we'll move on to item number 10. Discussion of possible action. Approve Resolution 17-457. Honoring Dean Haymore.
Hard as the first one was for me, this one is going to be a lot harder. And I committed myself to dial out as much emotion as I can because I've known this guy forever. And I know that there's going to be a bucket or two of emotion coming here shortly when he talks. There's just no words to describe what Dean means to this county and has meant to this county. I swear if you Googled or Wikipedia'd or any of that stuff, Story County, you're going to see Dean's picture. We've got a great team all the way through, elected officials, department heads, and line staff everywhere we go. And Dean's team is all here except for Tracy, who had to leave on a family emergency. There's just no way that we would be where we are today if it wasn't for Dean Haymore. So these words are not enough. There's apparently, thanks to his wife Roberta, the world's worst-kept secret about a party coming up on June 30th or so. And I'm sure they'd love to have you. Dean has promised that the root beer is going to flow and flow and flow that night. So with that, I'll choke my way through Resolution 17-457. It's a resolution honoring Dean Haymore. Whereas Dean Haymore has faithfully served Story County for 30 years, from 1987 to 2017, whereas Dean Haymore is dedicated to his job and the citizens of Story County, and whereas Dean Haymore has served with distinction, earning the respect of all he works with both locally and statewide, and whereas Dean Haymore's professional skills in several capacities have served to make Story County a better place to live, work, and play. Therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Dean Haymore for exemplary service to the people of Story County, Nevada, this 20th day of June 2017. Hopefully passed and adopted this 20th day of June 2017 by a unanimous commission vote. Congratulations.
Yeah. friends and family. Sorry, it's going to be rough. I'm sorry, friends and family, residents of Story County, all those I worked with over the 30 years. Thank you. It's going to be hard. I'm scared to death to retire. It's because this is what I love to do. This is what I've done for the half of my life. And it's an unbelievable career that I've had the opportunity, that Story County has given me the opportunity to come and serve the taxpayers of Story County, to serve the companies, to serve the individuals that build their homes for their families, to serve those children that are growing up, that their families had the opportunity to have jobs, to teach in the wonderful school district here in Story County, be the number one school district in the country, to be able to meet with companies and explain to them the opportunities that they would have in Story County, and to have their trust. A lot of people always say that I have a lot of power. I have no power. I have the respect of the county commissioners and most of the people I work with that trust what I do is right. And they let me do my job. And that's what was so great, is I was able to go out and do my job. And I couldn't have done it without Team Story, without every one of you. Everybody in the community is part of Team Story and made it what Story County is. I said this morning on our department head, Story County is one of the greatest counties in the world. We're lucky to live here, lucky to work and serve here, and to grow and watch the things happening. I had a vision. I had a dream. And I never believed what it would do, that I got to see it. I remember going out there and showing people this land out in Story County and say there was going to be an industrial park there. And I was told I was crazy many times, and it would never happen. I was told by the county commissioners in the early days to put a master plan together, to put a planning commission together, to write a zoning plan, and don't bother them, don't ask for any money. And I did that with their support. And then follow that, many county commissioners after supported all of our departments. I told them this morning that we went through some lean years. I remember having a meeting every week to get an approval if we could buy a pencil. I remember asking if we were going to get building permits in to make payroll that week. And we've came a long way. We stretched and pulled ourselves together when we needed to. And there's been a lot of people that did that. And there's going to be a lot of great leaders here in the governmental that will lead forward. And it's a time for a change. And it's a time for me to step down. And I'm very thankful. And I'm very gracious for all of you. Thank you.
Before I ask for a motion, I'm going to go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this resolution. Come on up. You bet. Once you reach the podium, if you'll identify yourself for the record, so that the clerk will get it all done.
For the record, my name is Sean Smith. I'm the president of Black Eagle Consulting. We're geotechnical engineers and materials testers that have worked for a long time with Dean. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the Commission, Story County, and in particular, Mr. Dean Haymore, for your vision and persistence that has opened the doors for the flood of world-class projects into the county and into the state. Black Eagle Consulting has had the honor and pleasure of working with Mr. Haymore for many years on the engineering and inspection and testing side. We're very proud of that. Our interaction with Dean has been a pleasure, a pleasant experience, and I would personally like to thank Dean for his service and professionalism over the years. On behalf of Black Eagle Consulting, Inc., congratulations on your career and on your retirement. We're very proud of you. Thank you.
I'd like to just tell everybody that doesn't know, and I'd be amazed if you don't, that for that one business, I can tell you there are thousands out here that could be here today to make that same testimony and maybe even more, from the giants of Tesla to the smallest home builder that's built. One thing Dean neglected to say today, too, is he and Roberta are in the process of buying a winter home in the Zions Park area. So you're all welcome.
Hi. Any other public comment regarding the resolution?
Yes, sir.
You come up, Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Med DA, Chris Thompson, Project Manager for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Many people don't realize how physical of a toll the work took on Dean Haymore. He would be out there in the middle of the night watching a concrete pour, doing the test. He would be out there in the morning in the trenches that are being dug for footings. He would be out there checking the material that was used. This is hard on a body. And when you do it for decades, like Dean Haymore did, I mean, it was almost like he was going back to repeated tours in combat. He would come in with a shoulder, with an arm, with a knee, with a hip. I mean, it is a brutal kind of work. And for anybody to have the kind of commitment that Dean Haymore did to do this decade after decade, sacrificing not only his family time, but sacrificing his very body to do this, I think deserves the highest of praise. And on behalf of Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and its owners, no one in this county, in the county government, has done more for industrial and economic development than that man right there. And we thank you, sir. But my heart, Dean Haymore. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else like to speak? Come on up.
Uh-oh. I'm Sarah Dillon, and I've had the privilege of working under Dean Haymore. It will be in August. It would be 3 years, it would have been, and not nearly enough time. We all come from different walks, different things, and I'm so thankful that I got this time and opportunity. It's always great to, like, you know, feel good about your work, get a paycheck, and support your family. But more than that, Dean's a real leader because he not only has taught me the skills to keep going and to keep winging it like I am now, but I actually wanted to make him proud. And a lot of the drive for me was just to make him proud of me in the last 2 years. I've been here 2.5 years. And to find a leadership like that is very rare. And God really did bless me, or the powers that be, or whatever it might be, or what you believe in. But he's had favor in all his life, and I've seen it firsthand. And I, again, couldn't thank him enough for the impact he's had even on my own little life and my family and my children. And he set an example and a standard that's really high. And we thank you. This is from our department and the staff that's going to keep following through. And take care of what you did. I hope to be part of this team and stay part of this team and to keep up doing what this wonderful, largest industrial park. So thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Who's next?
My name is Mike Burgess. I've worked with Lance Gilman and Dean Haymore. I was potentially, you would say, a client on the other side that represented $100 million pension funds that brought representatives to Reno and invested heavily into the industrial park. And I'm here for a different matter, but seeing Dean here, and I was not aware that this was his retirement, I felt compelled to say he was an exceptional ambassador that represented Story County. And the feedback we always got from these pension fund representatives was, is he for real? Is this really going to happen? Can this happen in the time frame that he says? Can we get this type of project off the ground? And I'll tell you right now, he was for real. You guys put your time and effort, and a handshake guarantee was truthful. And in this day and age, I can't tell you how many projects didn't go to Fernley, didn't go to Washoe County, didn't come to the state of Nevada if it hadn't been for Dean and Lance in that park that's going on out there. Right now, it has its own legs, and I think is going with lots of effort to keep going. But in those early years, everyone would say, is this true? Is this going to happen? Is there going to be an interchange? I remember Lance and Dean asking me at a meeting out there, they said, Mike, what do you think we need? And I said, hey, this park becomes real when you have an interchange on USA Parkway. And they both looked at each other and said, it's going to happen. And I'm like, okay, if it happens, it's going to get going. And lo and behold, it happened. So I know it takes the effort, but I can't tell you how much time and effort you guys have put in to make that park happen. And I'd like to thank Dean for being truthful and always being a well-represented person for this county.
Thank you, Bridget. Who's next? Any more takers? All right. I'll go ahead and ask if we can get a motion on this resolution.
In honor of 30 years of dedicated service to Story County in multiple capacities, I make a motion to approve Resolution 17-457, honoring Mr. Dean Haymore.
I second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 17-457, honoring Dean Haymore. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations on your retirement, Dean.
Thank you for your service.
All right, let's spend some money. Let's move on to item number 11, discussion of possible action. Authorize the county manager to approve a contract with the United States Geological Survey up to $30,000 for the voluntary and limited monitoring of groundwater levels and quality, aquifer conditions, and other geotechnical matters in the Virginia City Highlands, Highland Ranches, and Virginia Ranches area of Story County during the 2017-2018 fiscal year.
All right, thank you. Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne for the record. I also have with me David Smith from the United States Geological Survey. I'm going to give a very brief introduction of what this contract is about, and David has would like to answer any questions and give a little more explanation. Just in general, we've recognized, and the people of the Highlands have expressed to us over the last years, there's an issue with underground water quality and quantity in that area. We recognize there's a problem. The state engineer's office has records showing there's a problem, and these folks working with us will be able to hone down and study that problem to a little bit more specificity that will allow us to do planning in the future. Essentially, this contract would allow a comprehensive study of the aquifer in the Highlands area, including the Virginia City Highlands, the Highlands Ranches, and the Virginia Ranches, the rock characteristics of the area, the water table recharge, creating a map, and then the Lousetown Creek recharge characteristics, all in consideration of the 2016 Story County Master Plan that the people in that community, as well as the rest of the county, helped us develop. It says we should do these things. The budget for this overall is a total of $254,300. That is not the bill to Story County. This is a total project amount that would be divided over 5 years, and then that amount would be split 50-50, meaning $26,000 a year. And then we are proposing this to be a year-by-year contract in order for the county to take consideration of the budget over the next 5 years. And the USGS would be doing the same with its budgetary constraints. This whole thing was done in the public. We had gone to the Highlands several times. Your team had done a full comprehensive presentation twice in that area, showing the conditions and what their project is. Commissioner McGuffey even asked additionally that we go through a full town hall process out in the Highlands and ask the folks, do you want us to conduct the study and do you want us to expend these monies for the study, and was overwhelmingly supported. This also had been gone both to the Virginia City Highlands Property Owners Association and the Highlands Ranches Property Owners Association. What this is and what it is not. This is a volunteer study. If folks in the Highlands that would like the USGS to come up and do a study and measure their well over a period of time, if those folks don't want the USGS involved in their properties, then just don't volunteer and that won't happen. The USGS, and I'll let you speak for yourselves, but they're not a regulatory agency, they're surveyors, that's it. And then the question is, well, what would happen with a study? Really, the master plan that we developed together specifies a study like this will help us plan for the Highlands and help us be eligible for grant money and other federal assistance that can come along the way to help the Homeowners Association and residents out there create a general improvement district, import water, come up with alternatives for what exists out there now, allow the county maybe to develop a policy on transfer development credits, whereby a group could come into the Highlands and buy a large-scale number of lots, keep them in perpetuity forever to be an easement for conservation, and then allow more development in areas that have municipal services, trading those services. All these things can happen with this kind of study that allows us to say we know the exact conditions that are going on with specific detail that would enable us to be eligible for further assistance, grants, and other opportunities for planning. Really what it is not is it's not a water grab, it isn't metering wells, it isn't doing any of the things that some of the folks were concerned in the legislature about critical management areas and those sorts of things. However, I've always been honest with the people out there that any study of any kind is certainly could lead to the future. Someone saying we recognize there's a problem, what could happen with regulatory agencies is the potential, but there's enough information in the engineer's office and through knowledge already to possibly go that route. If such a thing were to happen in the next 10 or 20 year period where the state were to come in and try to say you're a critical area of concern, we want to do something to limit people's ability to use their wells. There's not only enough information on hand already to maybe support something like that, but this type of a study would enable us, as the master plan directs, to try to plan ahead of time and be proactive before such a move would be made by the state. I really don't have anything much more to say in this round. I would like to pass it over to David, and I think he has a few things he'd like to say.
Thank you. Thanks, Austin. David Smith with the U.S. Geological Survey, for the record. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today and consider this agenda item.
and also for the presentations in the past, both here and in the BC Highlands. I have no formal presentation today, but previous presentations have been made available online through the Story County webpage. And I invite anyone who's interested to check out those presentations. As far as the project goes, though, we're looking at starting July 1st on an annual year-to-year contract. The first year will focus on exactly where we're going to monitor. That's the biggest question at this time because so little work has been done up there. The second year will then focus on testing the aquifer properties. The third year will be looking at geophysics, so specifically the fractured bedrock aquifer. What are the properties? What is the viability of the aquifer system? The fourth year, we're going to look at developing a water table map from the data we've collected. And we've actually found a map from 1984, a master's thesis, which is one of the few studies that has been done in this area, that we're going to digitize and compare those surfaces, if you will, to see how the water table has declined throughout the highlands. The problem in the highlands, in specific sections, up to 30% of the wells have been re-drilled. That's a significant cost to the homeowners in this area. The water table decline in some areas that we've measured has been up to 150 feet. With that, I'd like to open it to any questions that anyone has. And if there's any detail that I can give on this project proposal, I'd be happy to do so.
Why the delay in measuring the water level now?
I think part of the process was working with Austin and trying to figure out what the county's priorities were and then also aligning those with ours as the research side. And then the combination of that with funding questions for us. We do have two wells that we've been actually monitoring up there. And just to report on the status of those, this year they've come up at least 25 feet in 1 year. From our analysis on the drawdown that's occurring, that's about 3 years of water supply. So as far as the workings with things, figuring out what, you know, presentations with the homeowners in the Virginia City Highlands, that happened just earlier this year. So I think with the budget, and Austin, if you have anything to add, but I think as far as the timing of the budgetary requirements, that's probably the delay.
So the money requested, is it going to be mostly for the testing itself, the measuring of the well?
A combination of that, but then also we're looking at a recharge from Lustown Creek through the highlands. That's hypothesized as the main point of recharge. So we're interested in that connection through dry years. And so then with that, we're also looking at measuring precipitation in different areas to really hone in down on water budget items, if that makes sense. And then in combination with that, the final product will be a report. And then each year we've also built in a presentation to the county with an update on what we've found so far.
So if you're not testing wells this year, what would the money be used for?
The project would start July 1st, so we would start this year. Yeah, sorry, if I misunderstood your question earlier. Yeah, I'm thinking of federal fiscal year. Sorry.
I think all three of us have seen your presentation.
Yeah.
You know, at planning commission meetings or workshops, whatever is the schedule. So I think we're pretty much up on what you do. I mean, your presentation is very informative. So going forward, I think this is a good idea. There's never been an in-depth study like this in the past. So I think the information it's going to give us going forward is going to be vital, I think. We're all concerned, you know, about water. I mean, you know, here in town we're a municipal system, but once we get out into the highlands and the ranches area out there, you know, they're at the mercy of the rain gods. So.
Yeah. And there will be another drought.
Well,
yeah. We don't know if we're out of.
My conversation with a hydrologist from the University of Nevada was that Nevada's in a perpetual state of drought, occasionally interrupted with a wet winter. So we live in the high desert, so we live in a drought-prone area. Yeah. So.
You have any questions, Lance?
No questions. I thank them so much for Austin and all that are working on it. I've had questions, inquiries from folks in the Highlands now for going on 4 years, and I think everyone is going to celebrate something that we're getting started with the study and start putting the information together so that we do have a baseline to work from in the event we need to do some strategic planning there. I thank you very much for doing it.
Do we know if any of the wells that had gone dry in the Highlands have rejuvenated from these storms? Because some of these guys have been hauling water in to sustain. Do we know either one of you two? If there's been any.
As far as specific wells, unless someone calls us and lets us know that they have water now, I'm not aware of any. But you are correct in the statement that we've had multiple people approaching us, letting us know that their well has gone dry and they're getting water delivered and can't afford to re-drill a well. So
I'm just wondering, if those wells that went dry, do they recharge naturally because of the...
Definitely. In a year like that we saw this year, you could see a response of up to 20 feet. But depending on the characteristics and how well connected it is to different fractures, but then also the use around that well, the longevity of that recharge could be short-lived.
Okay, understood.
I can add to that question. I just talked to a neighbor last week, my immediate neighbor, and their well has been dry for over three years, so they've been having the water hauled in. Well, now they have water in their well, so... they're kind of all happy over that. So
it's good to hear.
Okay, since we're, I don't think I have any more questions. It's an action item, so why don't we go ahead and see if there's any questions that you can field from the audience. Okay.
Sure.
Any public comment from anyone here? Nobody? Okay. Do you have anything to add, Pat?
No, I'm good.
Okay. If there's no other questions or comments, we'll go ahead and I'll ask for a motion to go ahead and approve this contract with the USGS.
Okay. Based on the recommendation by staff, I, County Commissioner Jack McGuffey, authorize the county manager to approve a contract with the United States Geological Survey, I got tongue-tied, also known as USGS, up to $30,000 for the voluntary and limited monitoring of groundwater levels and quality, aquifer conditions, and other geotechnical matters in the Virginia City Highlands, Highland Ranches, and Virginia Ranches area to Story County during the 2017-18 fiscal year.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, before a second is made, may I suggest one amendment?
Sure.
The amendment is to add County Manager Pat Whitten to the contract. Right now, my name and the USGS name is on that, but we believe that needs to be county manager as well, since he'll be the authorized agent to sign this.
Okay.
The motion does authorize the county manager.
That's right. Thank you. Not an amendment to your motion, an amendment to the actual contract that's in front of you.
Oh.
Okay.
You want to make an additional motion to have the county manager be able to sign the contract? Is that what you're asking for?
You're okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, you asked for a change.
The only thing I was asking, I want to make sure you recognize, and I ask that you recognize that the contract itself will have County Manager Pat Whitten's name on the bottom of it, but right now the draft does not.
Okay. So noted. All right.
So noted. Yeah. You have a motion.
I have a second. We moved to second to go ahead and approve this contract with the USGS not to exceed $30,000 for fiscal year 2017-2018. And the contract will go ahead and authorize the county manager to sign it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thanks for coming up today.
Of course. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Yep.
And good luck with your study out there.
We'll have an update within a year. So.
Very good.
Sounds good.
Great. You can come back sooner if you like, too. You don't have to wait a whole year.
Because
you know what happens if you look at the NDOT guys, you can beat them pretty good.
Yeah.
We're not building walls, so we're...
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Austin. Thanks, man.
Okay, we'll move on now to item number 12, discussion of possible action. The second reading ordinance number 17-275, amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning, 17.10 and 17.12 pertaining to marijuana and medical marijuana establishments, including prohibition of allowed uses, special uses, accessory uses, or temporary uses within all zoning districts, and other properly related matters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, planning, for the record. Deputy or Chief Deputy District Attorney Keith Lomas, during first reading, gave a comprehensive discussion and analysis and description of what this ordinance is. I don't really have anything else to add to that. I'm happy to field any questions. It's come to my attention that the Chief Deputy DA would like to add the words commercial cultivation to the prohibited uses in the ordinance. That's all I have to say.
Okay. And so this is the second reading.
Right.
Is that allowable to add verbiage to it now?
I think so.
Okay. I think that's why there's a time difference between the first reading and the second reading. I'm kind of looking at Bob as to allow minimal changes. At least that's the way we've approached it.
Okay.
Just really briefly, Robert Morris for the record. You can make specific changes to the ordinance as long as you include that in your motion. And then you can add a caveat, like to make sure that it's done properly, that subject to the DA's approval for the final copy.
Okay.
So the added verbiage would be commercial cultivation?
That would be correct.
Yeah, this is the second reading. We hashed it out pretty good at the last meeting. So, Mr. Gilman, do you have any concerns on this?
No questions. No.
Okay. Mr. McGuffey?
No.
None? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and take any public comment on this item. Hearing that, okay, I'll look for a motion to approve this with the amended verbiage.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve second reading of ordinance number 17-275, amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning 17.10 and 17.12 pertaining to marijuana and medical marijuana establishments, including prohibition of allowed uses, commercial cultivation, special uses, accessory uses, or temporary uses within all zoning districts and other property related matters.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Then moving to second, to go ahead and approve the second reading, ordinance 17-275, Union Story County Code 17. With the amended verbiage. So
yeah, well, I added the,
right.
The verbiage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Osborne.
Yes.
Okay. Moving along now. This will be item number 13, discussion of possible action. The transfer of appropriations in the general budget in the amount of $513,500. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Reflected in NRS 354-598 gives county governments the ability to augment their budget with regards to excess revenues that were anticipated, higher than ending fund balances that were anticipated, or a decrease in expenditures from appropriations within funds. There's a couple of ways we can do this. Appropriations can be transferred between functions, funds, and contingency. We have booked contingency not only in the general fund, but also in the 474 Fire Fund. And unlike the public sector, where budget analysis includes the total budget versus actual, we are kind of held to a higher standard that it's not the bottom line exactly that is part of the budget augmentations. There are those functions within that budget, which includes salaries, fringe benefits, operational expenses, and capital outlay. Enterprise funds gets a small break because they operate pretty much as a business. And as much as taxation creates a lot of pain for us in quarterly and year-end reporting and submissions, they do give local governments a break on year-end budgets and appropriations. And so consequently, the following is my recommendations for the appropriations for the general fund for the 2016-2017 year. We are using contingency funds of $338,000, and we're transferring between funds and functions in the amount of $175,750. And my explanations for those are as follows. There was $8,000, in administrative PERS, and this was reflected because of a part-time employee going full-time. A lot of this stuff happens, and you'll see this along through the budget process. Sheriff Capilotli of $37,500. This represents, one replacement vehicle that was in a collision in I-80. And one vehicle resulting from the budget process. With the budget process for the next year, we decided to authorize the sheriff to get two vehicles this year and two vehicles next year. One was for the replacement, one for this year, and so that appropriation is for there. Community development salaries of $73,000 represents the addition of a billing inspector for $50,000 and a department head buyout of $49,783. Justice court salaries of $11,000 represent really the addition of one payroll week. We have 27 weeks in this year. Phenomenal. It happens not very often. But this is a result of that. There were no anomalies with that. It's just the fact that we've got an extra week. We've got to go in there. Community relations computer equipment was increased by $1,200, and this represents an additional computer for the new senior center director that we're going to have effective July 1st. Communication salaries and communications overtime was increased $35,000. Part of it was because of staff grade increases, plus the results of a new bargaining contract that we did not have last year. And the overtime is merely in 911 style. A lot of it happened during the FEMA when we had that emergency in January. And so that appropriation goes for there. Communications capital outlay of $10,000 represents a radio VHF upgrades for public safety. So communications is really taking a lot of these communication things that have to be upgraded and expanding it through that process. Next comes our IT department, and that had we were requesting appropriations of $126,000 for that. Since the declared emergency on January 7th, system failures and IT infrastructure has come to a cost of approximately $121,000. Comptroller salaries and PERS is related to and is expected to increase due to an anticipated step approval, and computer equipment augmentation is due to the unanticipated replacement of a laptop and a new copier that needed to be purchased. travel and training appropriations, including education, training, and conference attendance this year at the Government Financial Officers Association, which is given every year. And since this was near to the West Coast, we decided to go. Special revenue funds from contingency. The roads department, the tech fund, equipment acquisition of $2,000 was reflective of some things within the tech fund that just got a little bit overbearing. We include that as $2,000. And engine accident, which is a special revenue fund, represents the payments to the state of Nevada for indigent care, and that was over-appropriated. So we hope we feel that this $8,200 will get us to June 30th. In addition, there was the Virginia Rail project, of which this actually represented a miscalculation a year ago as far as the V&T project principal and interest. So we're going to give them another $8,700. Next comes the transfers of appropriations in the amount of $175,000. That represents buildings and grounds. We would request appropriations of $10,000, which included $22,000 for the courthouse prep and paint, which was much needed, as we all know. This came out of the Buildings and Grounds Historic Preservation Fund. Buildings and Ground capital outlay was increased $10,000 to cover a $38,000 purchase of a G-lift, which we now have seen a very good purchase on our part for that because it's being used extensively right now. That $10,000 came out of the Historic Preservation Fund. Sheriff Building Maintenance, we increased that by $10,000 due to $7,500 for new paint and a new roof. And that came out of our district attorney's professional services. To pick up the community development department, we increased their capital outlay by $43,000, which is representative of two pickups for inspectors. We took that and also community developed overtime of $30,000, which represents the accumulation of overtime due mainly to the Tesla project. We took $22,000 out of community development professional services because they had that, and we also took $51,000 out of the district attorney's public professional fees. The district attorney interest expense, we gave them $500, and we also appropriated or took away, that came out of the district attorney's professional fees. District attorneys or district court professional fees, we're requesting $32,000 for that, and that is mainly due to the Henderson case, which we had to pay about $26,000 on in district court. Planning equipment, we're asking for an appropriation of $4,000 for $3,000 for new PCs for that department, and we are going to take that out of the planning professional services function. Special revenue funds. Roads professional fees we would like to increase them by $35,000, and that is mainly due to the FEMA emergency. We were allowed to take that money from the roads department 6-mile drainage, which is probably going to continue probably through our lives, I would imagine. And genetic marker testing. We would like to give them $1,000 for excess DNA testing. and we're going to take that out of their genetic marker testing courtroom improvement account for $175,000. So, Mr. Chairman, at this point in time, I think that's the all the agenda items that I have on number for the transfer of amount of $513,500.
Very good. Commissioners, have any questions for you regarding this one?
No questions. On communications salaries, you stated 35K. It's written here as 32.
Yeah.
Which is it?
Well, it's because of the 35,000 we had to. It's, oh, did I say it at 32? It should be. Did I say 35?
You said 35.
I was. It's 32?
Okay.
32,000, yes.
All right. And then on the commercial development overtime, you said that that 30,000 is because of Tesla?
Community development?
Yeah.
That was for the inspectors and staff.
Right. Shouldn't Tesla be picking up that tab?
Well, that.
I can speak to that. It's not just Tesla, and no. We are attempting to renegotiate, but we agreed to a fixed price. And recently, through Gary's help in particular, they've, just this morning, I think, there was a meeting between our team, the Tesla team, and third-party inspectors that we've used on both the community development side and the fire side, as far as I know. So we're starting to use that, which takes less pressure off. I would tell you it's not just because of Tesla. Things are popping all over the place here. So.
Any public comment regarding this? You know, okay, I'm going to get a motion to approve the transfer of appropriations in the general budget, the amount of $513,500.
I move to approve the transfers of appropriations within the general fund department and special revenue funds pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $513,500.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve this transfer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're going to recess as the Surrey County Board of Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. Next up is going to be a discussion on possible action, transfer of appropriations in the 474 Fire District in the amount of $54,500. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following are out of contingency for the 474 Fire District. We're requesting $20,000 in fire salaries. This is amount that was necessary to cover a department head buyout of $55,000. Fire PERS, we're requesting $15,000, which was necessary to cover the same buyout for the department head, and the same thing of $6,500 for fire Medicare. Fire capital outlay, we're requesting $13,000. This appropriation was needed for the purpose of acquiring a new pickup. And I think that is the $54,500, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Commissioners, have any questions for you regarding this transfer?
No.
None? Public comment? Hearing no public comment, I can ask for a motion to approve this.
I move to approve the transfers of appropriations within the 474 Fire District General Fund Department pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $54,500.
Second.
And moved in second to approve the appropriations of $54,500. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 16, discussion and possible action. An approval of resolution 17-460 and augmentation of the 474 Fire District Mutual Aid Fund in the amount of $58,000.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. As we know, the Mutual Aid Fund was designed to account for all of those expenditures of labor, assets, on all projects outside of the 474 fire district. So consequently, we, within any 1 year, we have no idea what the fire is going to be. We just, we try to throw an estimated amount at it, and this year, there was more than we thought. So consequently, the, you know, the overtime of $25,000, PERS of $2,000, PACT of $8,000, health insurance of $10,000, mutual aid travel of $5,000, excuse me, and mutual aid fire suppression of $8,000, these appropriations are necessary to bring the budgeted amounts close to actual at July 30, 2013. This, again, is a out-of-district fund, and budgeted items are very subjective depending upon the assignments. We go out and we formally do a project or a fire assignment. They then get funds back from that fire assignment. So this is roughly a in-and-out account, but the balances of such either go for, you know, the upgrade of equipment or repair of the equipment or whatever. So, and it just depends on how many fires we get for a year. So there will always be an augmentation in the mutual aid fund. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks on mutual aid.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Commissioners, have any questions for Mr. Gallagher regarding this one?
No questions.
No?
Nope.
Okay. We'll open up the public comment. Any public comment regarding this augmentation? Hearing none, if I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 17.460, which accepts the augmentation for the 474 Fire District Mutual Aid Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $58,000.
No second.
Been moved and second to approve Resolution 17-460. In the amount of $58,000. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 17, discussion of possible action. Story County Fire Protection District Cooperative Agreement and Annual Operating Plan with the Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District. Chief Nevin.
I was going to say good morning, but good afternoon. Jeff Nevin for the record. This is an annual agreement, and actually two parts to this one, annual agreement and then the five-year cooperative agreement with the Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District, just a renewal of what's gone on the past several years. Basically provides service to either agency free of charge for the first 24 hours, and then it gives us an avenue after that to be able to bill. These documents update the legalese and then the updated rates and such. If there's any questions on that?
No, I think this is just procedural. I mean, this is a renewal. Has anything changed in this contract compared to the last time? Okay. Any questions on Jack?
No.
No? Me neither. Okay. Any public comment regarding this renewal? No? Okay. We get a motion for approval.
I move to approve the cooperative agreement and annual operating plan between Story County Fire Protection District and the Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District and authorize the chairman to sign.
Second.
And moved to second to approve this cooperative agreement. The Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 18, discussion of possible action. Story County Fire Protection District 2017 operating plan between the USDA, Forest Service, Humboldt, Toyabe National Forest, and the USDI Bureau of Land Management, Carson City District.
Again, this is an annual update plan. Five-year plan was signed last year with both federal agencies. This, again, gives us the avenue to assist them and them assist us with any local fires, and also gives them the ability to call us for outside of this area, any national emergencies that may need assistance for, and again, gives the avenue to bill.
This appears to be the same as the last.
Same.
No changes.
Except this is done on an annual.
This is an annual plan. The 5-year plan was done last year. So.
Okay. Any questions for Jeff on this?
No questions.
No. Okay. Any public comment regarding the renewal? Hearing none, motion for approval.
I move to approve the operating plan between Story County Fire Protection District and the USDA Forest Service, Humboldt, Toyobe National Forest, and the USDI Bureau of Land Management, Carson City District, and authorize the chairman and fire chief to sign.
I'll second.
And move the second to approve this operating plan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the 474 Fire Protection Board and going to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. And we're going to go back here onto item number 20, discussion and possible action. Transfer of appropriations in the Water and Sewer Fund in the amount of $3,000. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The transfer of appropriations for the water, I'm pretty sure it's the water department, is for salaries of $3,000. We would request that go into their salaries, and also we will take that out of the water operating supplies. This represents unanticipated increases in funding for staff as a result of a person who has retired. Mike Nevin has retired. So there were two individuals that came into that had different appropriations than Mike had. Mike had appropriations in building and grounds. He had it in service. He had it in the pool. He had it in water, sewer, and service. These individuals, since they did not have that type of experience, those appropriations were different. Therefore, the water department got put it on a little excessor.
Very good. Any questions for Hugh regarding this?
I don't see this affecting any rate payers or
no,
anything like that.
No, no.
Okay. Any public comment regarding this? Okay. You can go ahead and get a motion to approve the transfer.
I'll make a motion to approve the transfers of appropriations within Story County Water Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $3,000.
I'll second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to transfer appropriations in the Water and Sewer Funds in the amount of $3,000. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. We're going to go ahead and adjourn now as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. And we've already heard item number 22, so we're going to go ahead and move on to number 23. And this is discussion and possible action. Approval of Resolution 17-461, setting the tax rate levy for the 2017-2018 year. This was an amendment, so was this go out to everybody in the beginning or not?
I believe the website was updated.
Okay, the website was updated. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to ask that this item be pulled today for future discussion. Setting the tax rate levy for 2017-2018 would not be in keeping with our request to lower the tax rates for the residents of Story County presently. And so I don't see that it would be appropriate, at least in my world, to approve a rate levy in the face of that coming change.
Okay. Before we do that, I think we have a time frame issue, I believe, on this. I think that's why there was an amendment to the agenda, was it not? Don't we have a specific date on where we need to issue the tax levy rate?
Yeah, it was in February or March.
Pardon me?
Yes. Let me try and explain something here. Chairman Gilman, Commissioner Gilman, the tax rate, we're just authorizing the tax rate for this coming year. I think that what Jack is applying, and I think it's a great idea, is for that year of 18-19. And the 17-18 year, I think, has already been done. We have already filed with the Department of Taxation. This is just some cleanup work, so we have to do a resolution for that. I really was understanding that this was that all of our workshops and whatever that was going to commence in July was for the 18-19 year, not 17-18 year.
Well, I don't understand it that way, and I'm going to take a firm position, at least from my vote today, that I'm not going to approve this tax rate because I want to see this lowered for the 17-18 year. And that's where I'll vote today.
We got any tax experts in here? Because here
I think
we go.
This is a taxation question.
Well, in order to open the fiscal year and start the tax roll, we need to have the tax rate approved. And by canceling that first meeting in July, it doesn't give us that date to set it. So I can't bill or send out tax bills or even start the roll until this resolution's passed.
Ma'am?
Go right ahead.
In the spirit of what Commissioner Gilman's asking, we've canceled July 4, but we could very easily have a meeting, a special meeting on July 5 or July 6, by which time he and I can meet the spirit of what Commissioner McGuffey, Vice Chairman McGuffey, has asked. Does that fit in within those time periods?
Yes. Yeah.
So that could be an option. We can get the answers from taxation. We can do the analysis on rolling it back a penny by penny by penny. I'm not saying a penny at a time, but once you get how much a penny rollback, you know, costs, you can multiply it by any number you want. So I would then suggest giving the both the urgency and the long-term commitment, if you will, of, you know, you guys wanting to do something sooner than later, since we've talked about it for so long. I would suggest that this be continued and that we get our schedules together for a special meeting sometime subsequent to July 4th.
Thank you for that, Pat, very much. My feeling here is that we've been kicking this can down the road now for 3 to 4 years. And at some point, you have to draw the line in the sand and say, enough's enough. And so I'm prepared to take that line today personally. The other commissioners certainly can move in the direction they choose. But I'm going to choose to draw the line in the sand, and I want to see our tax rate for our residential community lowered, and I want to see it done in 2017-18.
Commissioner Gilman, it will not only be for residential. It will also be for all the businesses. And it will not be just for residential. It will be for businesses across the board.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, I think that is an accurate statement. I've always understood that the equalization process means equalization. We could be wrong, but that's always something we offered. But I think, again, Hugh and I have talked about rolling the tax rate back several times in the last few months, and I think once he's finished with his analysis, Tom Gransbury has had some participation, I believe, you know, we can get those numbers to you. Let's just pick a arbitrary date, July 5th, July 6th. I do want the commission to know I will not be here. I'll be cruising the inside passage.
Might we set something for a special meeting for the end of next week, giving us a week's time to turn the information around?
You certainly can. Right. Are we that close on analysis?
That doesn't give us a lot of time. But did you just mention that we were supposed to approve this tax levy rate in February?
We did something of the effect. They sent a letter out in, I believe it was February, if we were going to change our tax rate for budgetary purposes. And we sent that letter back that we weren't. So I'm not real sure with the resolution. We're going to have to figure this out first, whether the resolution is just another addendum to whatever that is and we can change it, I'm really not sure the Department of Taxation has ever been through one of these, but we'll give it the best shot we can on this. I mean, obviously, if that's what the commission wants, I mean, we're certainly going to go to the nth length to get this done. We don't know how this is going to happen, so we're going to need some time on this.
In my belief, we have the money, we have the wherewithal, we have the growth in the county, and there's no reason to kick the can another year, in my opinion.
We can't discuss that right now because that's not an agendized item. Unless we can afford it or not.
That's why I would look for a special meeting by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can certainly turn up the fire. We'll pick a date that we're adequately staffed. Maybe we can shoot for next Thursday. I will be here. I don't leave until Friday. We should have plenty of time. My understanding, and I could be wrong too, because I haven't been that actively involved in the budget process for a few years, because Hughes handled it so well, is our notification back in February, March is typically staff's assessment that no, we're not going to change the tax rate for budgetary purposes. I don't think it was officially authorized or ever has been officially authorized by the governing board that is responsible for setting the tax rate. That, I believe, is what this process is. So we'll get scheduled. I'll talk to each of you via email or phone, pick our dates, and we'll go from there.
The other thing, if appropriate, is Hugh has discussed with us in the past that there are also, in addition, alternative actions that could be implemented that might effectuate an alternative or maybe even an additional augmentation to that financial slide. So, Hugh, have you got anything that you want to share with us, or can you share with us?
Well, we've discussed it as soon as probably last year, is the ability, or at least we think it's the ability to give rebates based upon a certain number of value within the county funding. We have addressed that with Tom Gransberry and with the Department of Taxation. We think that we can go forward with that, although that is I don't think, according to taxation, that's ever been done, but I don't see why it's not a good idea. And my hesitation has nothing to do, because I'm a taxpayer too, but my hesitation is that last year we abated $5 million in taxes. Okay. I don't know what you gentlemen think about whether or not we're going to get a special election in November or a special session in November concerning the last purchaser that's out there, understanding that we may have a tremendous amount of infrastructure that we're going to have to build out there. You guys are going to have to give me some information on that because I really don't know. I will proceed as if there is not. And we will see where this goes.
Yeah. And if I may add, that's a reference to Google. And based on my experience and staff's experiences that are interactive with Google, and I think I'd look to you, Lance, as well, this was a long-term strategic land purchase for them. The dust hasn't even settled out there yet. I'm not under any impression that there's going to be a sense of urgency that could trigger such a session. Can't think like the governor's office or like Google, but I would say make your decisions as if there isn't a special session, and we'll read through those tea leaves if and when it happens.
As my earlier comment, I prefer to get it done now. The sooner the better. I don't want to wait till next year's fiscal year to try to wiggle that in. And that would have to be done by March if we were going to do it for next year. Doing this, reducing the taxes, you're saying it's for everybody, and that's great. That's going to send a flag to these companies thinking about coming to Story County, like, hey, they just lowered their tax rates.
Commissioner McGuff, with all due respect, I think we should save this conversation and these arguments.
Yeah,
for a special meeting going forward, because we're a little bit off topic, because we're just supposed to approve this one line item on here, and now we've gotten into into a whole bunch of different directions. Because I don't want to get chewed out by the district attorney later.
Thank you for the calm leadership, Marshall. Thank you for the calm leadership.
However, thank you.
I think we've leaned enough, and since we do have you here meeting publicly, if I could ask you to look at your calendar briefly and tell me how you look for Thursday of next week at 10 a.m.
Wednesday or Thursday is open. Is this a court? Is Wednesday a court day in here? Wednesday, Thursday is open for me next week.
Thursday.
I'd like to give you some budget.
Well, Thursday, anybody can do it Friday?
No. Well, you can't apply. If I'm not here, I don't care.
Thursday, we're in court all day. Wednesday, I think, might be arraignments. What's the date on it? You want me to go check? I'll go check.
That'll be good, just so we can square it away.
Okay.
Thursday's the 29th.
And then you're going to contact the Department of Taxation to make sure that we're kosher too.
Well, if you do it by Friday, we've done it by June.
Well, we'll find out today.
And we'll walk you through the stuff during the meeting stuff here. I mean, obviously this, you know, and Jack, I think you said it best, we've got a $7.4 million in fund balance. This will, since we've already budgeted expenses, this will lower your revenue and cause that deficit that you really don't like, but we'll continue to try to toe the line on those like we do every year anyway.
Okay, so why don't we hold this, why don't we move on to the next item, wait for her to come.
She's back.
Oh, she's back.
The court has agreements next Wednesday at 10 and 2, which generally, and then there's something, a small transaction at 11. So if anything be, and they start lining up. Ms. Keener, how long do you think in advance do people line up for the 10 o'clock arraignment?
It is actually about more than 20 minutes.
Okay, so if it was at 9 o'clock?
On Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday. Thursday, we're all booked.
Can you have your analysis done in a week?
Sure. No problem.
Well, I'd rather do Friday, to be honest with you.
No, Thursday's fine. We can get
to Thursday. No, Thursday.
Right? Wednesday?
See,
right.
Wednesday or Friday. And we really need to have that analysis out in front of everybody so they have us. Even though you know I'm not going to be here, I would rather see it happen on Friday than
Wednesday. Can we do it on Tuesday?
The analysis issue.
We have to finish the analysis, right, and we need to get it out with the public notices.
Gotcha.
You can't do Friday.
Yeah, I can. I can do it. You won't be
okay.
Here.
So my recommendation would be 10 a.m. Friday, a week on.
And again, I mean, the thing that was approved in February was for this next budget year. And we had pretty much said that. So we're going to try and find out how we can get out of that first, because I'm not sure if anybody's ever done that. And so
government's ever rolled back taxes.
Yeah, that's probably not. That probably
well, you got two issues. If we can get out of it, then also we have to look at if the county can afford to roll back on taxes.
Yeah. But we'll get it done. We'll
part
get
A,
done.
Part B.
Yeah. Kind of like taxes.
It'll be interesting.
Friday's good. Pass with me. Friday's good. Yeah.
Friday's good with me.
Okay.
So you go ahead and start the numbers.
What time?
10 a.m.
Okay.
Are you going to be here?
I won't be here. It's all on you, but.
You got it. We'll get her done.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and continue item 23.
And since we know the date specific, let's continue it to 10 a.m. June 30th here in the district court.
Right.
If it lasts all day, we can go right to Dean Haymore's retirement party.
There you go.
That's right. Okay.
I think you need a motion to continue that.
Yeah. I shouldn't have a problem getting one of those. Can I get a motion to continue this? Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
Next Friday, the 30th at 10 a.m.
Okay, I'll make a motion to reschedule Resolution 17.461, setting the tax rate levy for fiscal year 2017-18 to June 30th. At 10 a.m. in this courtroom.
All right.
No. I'll second.
It's been moved and second. Is there any public comment regarding this? Hearing none.
call for the question on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
We get a quick break.
Yeah, sure. Aye. Motion carries. Okay. We're going to go ahead and we're going to bypass item number 24 because that's going to continue to August the 15th. It'll bring us on to item number 25, but we're going to take about a little 10-minute recess first.